Hey there, this is New York Times bestselling author and ridiculously happy wife, Laura Doyle. Buckle up, Aubrey's about to take you on another great episode of The Road to Rediscovery. Sit back and enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special solo episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward to uplift others who are struggling through dark times. Now, as you know, you can get The Road to Rediscovery anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you happen to listen on Apple Podcasts, we invite you to leave a rate and review. And how many of you know that The Road to Rediscovery has a YouTube channel? That's right. Just search on Road to Rediscovery on YouTube. Subscribe, like the videos. Let's get that algorithm going so that we can increase the views, increase viewership and visibility throughout the YouTube platform. And as always, you can give us your feedback or any questions you have by shooting us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. We may even read your question or thought in a future episode and give you a shout out. Do you remember the first time you heard the term self-help? What was your first experience when hearing that term? Were you at a conference? Maybe you were at work, or perhaps reading a book on the topic? I'm sure everyone's experience with encountering the term is different. Self-help. In my early experience, I remember a friend inviting me to a conference. I didn't get much of an explanation on what the conference was about. He just told me that it was, quote, self-help and groundbreaking. So I went ahead to see what it was all about. Turns out, it was a guy in bifocals, oil slick hair, and a multi-patterned suit talking about how we can change our lives for the better by going into business for ourselves, improve the quality of life for our family, and bring, quote, other people under our network to boost our business growth. Yep, you guessed it. It was a multi-level marketing pitch, also known as MLM or, quote, pyramid selling. I was instantly turned off, and whether right or wrong, the term self-help put a bitter taste in my mouth from that time on. Now let's fast forward about 10 to 15 years later to the mid to late 90s. I was in a bookstore in Philadelphia and walked into the self-help section of the store. I then came across a book called Peace is Every Step by Thich Nhat Hanh. I read a few pages and then I ended up buying the book. As I was driving, I was a bit confused in the self-help term from my initial experience. The author of this book wasn't trying to convince me to start a business. He wasn't trying to extract large amounts of money from me either, just the price of the book. Then a few months later, I saw a speaker on television named Les Brown. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. He was so engaging. After hearing him talk, I felt motivated, ambitious, inspired, and validated as an imperfect human being. And he didn't want any money from me either, just maybe the purchase of one of his books, but no pressure at all. Now, I know I'm talking a lot about self-help, and this episode is not about self-help, but I wanted to give you a bit of context on my experience with it as we transition to a similar concept and this episode's topic, self-care. Now, I'm sure I'm late to the game, but I first heard about self-care about 2 years ago, maybe three. Upon learning about it and what sorts of things constitute as self-care, I thought, well, duh, self-care. This has always existed. Self-care is defined by the National Institute of Mental Health as taking the time to do things that help you live well and improve both your physical health and mental health. A few examples it provided were things like getting regular exercise, eat healthy regular meals, and stay hydrated, along with a few others. For as long as I can remember, people have been trying to get regular exercise and eat healthy each day. So what is the differentiator? Well, the answer to that question is, I'm not sure. But I believe the differentiator is the fact that 20, 30, and even 40 years ago, mental health was hardly regarded or acknowledged. So while exercise and eating healthy mostly contributed to physical health and physical health improvement, and with the words mental health included as part of the definition I just read, the NIH has included other self-help examples like practicing gratitude and focusing on positivity, among others, making self-care a holistic activity, in my view. So the whole point behind all this? Without getting caught up in cliches and catchphrases such as self-help and self-care, how do we improve our discipline to make ourselves a priority to practice self-care? When it comes to a discipline for self-improvement, we all have the best of intentions to be consistent and work hard at improving. But for most of us, one of the following two things, or maybe even both, tend to get in our way. Either one, situations, events, and circumstances that appear more fun to us, like meeting friends for drinks, going shopping, or maybe just staying in bed and scrolling through social media on your phone. And two, putting the needs of others before our own. I can only speak for myself when I say that both of these have gotten in my way of being consistent with my self-care and improvement. How about you? Tell us about it at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. I'm sure most of you can relate. Additionally, both of these can cause us to misprioritize putting ourselves first. And you want to hear something ironic? While rest and sleeping in may be considered being lazy and complacent, depending on the circumstances, rest can actually be a form of recharging yourself, which is a form of self-care. This reminds me of a post I saw online earlier yesterday that said, quote, "What hustle culture doesn't understand is that resting is not taking your foot off the gas, it's putting fuel in the tank." I like that, fuel in the tank. Now, admittedly, I have my own struggles with prioritizing my self-care. I'll be 56 next month in May, and some days I wake up with soreness in places that came out of nowhere. On these days, it's quite easy for me to convince myself to make some coffee and breakfast instead of working on my cardio and core exercises, which I try to do daily. Additionally, when it comes to getting plenty of sleep, another form of self-care, I guess I sometimes suffer from a little bit of FOMO. You've heard that term FOMO, right? F-O-M-O, fear of missing out, of what's going on in the late night. I am a late night person. The weird thing is, and it's quite silly, honestly, I'm at home. My going out days are long over. I don't miss anything or have any fear of missing anything outside my home late at night. So maybe I have a fear of missing out on a late night talk show or something. I don't know. More to come on that in a future episode and future topic at a future time. I want to share with you three methods that I have adapted at the beginning of this year to help me stay the course on my self-care. And maybe you already use one or more of these. Here we go. Number one, have a mantra. Is there a phrase you can make that's short and to the point that can remind you to prioritize yourself and remind you why you are in this commitment? Mine is quite simple, and it may not make sense to others, but it does to me. My mantra is, Aubrey, you've got to give a damn. It just works for me because I never want to feel as if I don't care for myself. You know, give a damn about your appearance. Give a damn about eating right. Give a damn about getting the sleep you need. You have to give a damn. If you don't give a damn, then it almost sounds as if you're letting yourself go. And that's the dialogue in my head when I hear that mantra. And whether it's right or wrong, it does kind of light a fire under me to get back in these good habits and not just open that bag of chips while sitting on the couch. Number two, think ahead. I know. We always talk about being mindful and present in all we're doing and who we're with. And that still stands. That doesn't change. But if you are agonizing over getting up for that 3-mile jog or starting that 20-minute meditation, just give yourself a moment to think about how better you will feel after that jog or after that meditation. You'll have clearer thinking and a clearer conscience knowing you followed through on your commitment. And number three, some is better than none. Don't forego something just because it isn't going according to your plan. For example, you planned on waking up at 6:30 a.m. to do 30 minutes of yoga starting at 7 o'clock. You oversleep and wake up at 7 instead. Instead, you oversleep and wake up at 7, and your schedule for the day is pretty tight. So instead of giving up on yoga for the day just because you woke up late, do some yoga from 7:15 to 7:30. 15 minutes of yoga is better than no yoga at all. So let's do a quick recap on those three methods. Number one, have a mantra. Number two, think ahead. And number three, some is better than none. Those are my three fairly new methods for sustaining my self-care. Like I said, I adapted these for the start of the year. And I want to remind you, this is a new approach for me. Okay, so I will have to let you know how it's going some months down the line. So what are your methods for sticking to your self-care priorities? Let me know at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com, and I'll share it on a future episode. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in and listening. And as always, we want all our listeners to know that when dealing with life struggles, you're never alone and there's always hope. Please share this show with someone you know who needs inspiration and support. We're all on this journey of life, and it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have. The Roads Rediscovery is an AJ Shark production.